My name is Garland Robinson. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 we read, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." The word oracle here appears three other times in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 38, we read the lively oracles, or that is, the living oracles, and it refers in this place to the law of Moses from the Old Testament. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 2, we read of the phrase the oracles of God, and there it refers to all the written utterances of God through the Old Testament writers. And then we read the first principles of the oracles of God that's used to indicate the entire substance of Bible doctrine in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. So that entails or involves all that God has ever spoken and caused to be recorded that we might read and study and learn His will, and that is found in what we call the Bible. The thought in 1 Peter 4:11 is that if any man, the word man is neuter, that it means anyone or whomsoever, if any person, if any human being speaks, let that person speak as the oracles or as the utterance or the word of Almighty God. When you think about the Word of God in that respect, we find that the most powerful influence in all the world is the Word of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. Paul would write in Romans 1 and verse 16 to the church at Rome. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." It is through the Word that men hear the gospel, Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. Through the Word, men are convicted of their sins, Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Men are begotten or born of God by the Word of God, James chapter 1 and verse 18, and 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. The Word of God is able to save and to sanctify us, James chapter 1 and verse 21, and John 17 and verse 17. The Word of God is able to strengthen and to cleanse us, Psalm 119, verse 9 and verse 28. Through the Word, we receive instruction, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 36. And through the Word, we understand God's will, Psalm 119 and verse 104. Therefore, when we speak, we are commanded to speak the Word of God. Even in the common daily conversation of any and all Christians, all men and women, we are to be governed by what God has said, and as He has commanded, and with the psalmist we would be able to say, "Oh, how I love Thy law! It is my meditation all the day." Psalm 119 and verse 97. Friend, can you say that you love the Word of God? There's no other word in all the world that is the truth that the Word of God is. It is the Word of God that has the power to move us from the old way of life to a new life in Christ. God's people are to speak the commands of God. We read in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." The Old Testament prophet Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." 1 Kings 22 and verse 14. Paul instructed Timothy to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. That same command, the same admonition given to Timothy, is to be applied in the world today. Every gospel preacher, every evangelist, wherever he may be and to whomever he speaks, is to preach the Word. He's not to preach himself. He's not to preach philosophy. He's not to preach the wisdom of men. He is to preach the Word of God. And this text says he is to do so in season and out of season. That is, when it's popular and when it's not. When he knows his audience wants the Word of God and will be receptive of it, and when he knows his audience will not receive the Word of God and will rebel against it. So that's what Paul tells Timothy to do. Be instant in season and out of season. When they want it and when they don't, when they lack it and when they don't, he was to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. The idea of reprove is to set forth the words of truth and soberness that would cause people to recognize they are in error. They see what is right, they examine their own lives, and see that it is amiss. I'm violating the will of God. Once recognizing that, Timothy was to rebuke them, to identify, yes, you are in sin, it is wrong, come out of it, and to make them feel guilty, to feel the remorse and pain that they are indeed against the will of God, and then to exhort them, encourage them to repent, turn from their sins, and turn toward God. We also find that God told Isaiah in Isaiah 51 and verse 16, I have put my words in thy mouth. But those of Isaiah's day said, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Isaiah 30 and verse 10. The terrible thing of it was that the people loved to have it so. Jeremiah 5 and verse 31. We have no authority but the Word of God. And when we speak, it must be from the Scriptures, which are inspired of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. The first century preachers accepted that command, and they spoke boldly in the name of Jesus. To speak boldly means to speak openly, plainly, and without fear. Paul sets the tone when he asks the brethren in Ephesus to pray for him, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Ephesians 6 and verse 19 and 20. The brethren at Philippi grew confident by Paul's chains, and we read in Philippians 1:14, were much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. After being commanded not to speak nor teach at all in the name of Jesus, we find that Peter and John and the other apostles were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spake the Word of God with boldness. Acts 4:29 and 31. There are many other verses that tell us the same thing, to speak with boldness. Acts 9 and verse 27. Acts 13 verse 46. Acts 14 verse 3. Acts 19 and verse 8, and 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 2. Now note what happened when the Word of God was preached with boldness. We read in Romans 10:18, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. In Acts 5:14, we read, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. We find the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven in Colossians 1 and verse 23. And in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, we read, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Friend, when we get busy today teaching and preaching the gospel around the world without favor or compromise, it will obtain the results for which God had sent it and intended it to have. Speaking as the oracles of God is also respecting the silence of the Scriptures. God intended for us to respect His silence. Think of Nadab and Abihu, who were destroyed by fire for their disrespect of God's silence in His Word in Leviticus 10 and verse 1 and 2. God had instructed them to use fire from the altar in their sacrifices. God did not say another fire could not be used. However, Nadab and Abihu used a strange fire, and Leviticus 10 verse 2 says, which he commanded them not, and they were punished with their very lives. By God telling them what to use, he eliminated everything else. When God says a thing, it's final. Everything else is eliminated. God's people say, we will do only what the Bible authorizes. That is, what the Bible commands or what the Bible allows. Liberal-minded people say, oh, we'll do everything the Bible does not specifically condemn. We respect silence if we love the Lord. We respect silence in all the other walks of life. Why not when it comes to the Bible? When you go to a restaurant to eat, you tell the waiter what you want. You don't go through a long list of everything you don't want. By specifying what you want, you eliminate everything you don't want. There's no misunderstanding that. The Bible's no different. God has given us exactly what He wants, no more and no less. Speaking as the oracles of God is simply a lesson on basic Bible authority. God said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1 and verse 7, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. He has so commanded every child of God in this last age when He said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. In Nehemiah 13:24, we read about the language of Ashdod. What that means is people were not speaking the Word of God. They were speaking someone else's word, perhaps their own word. The language of Ashdod is foreign to speaking as the oracles of God. What we need to do is use Bible words, use Bible terms, and to not speak as the world speaks, but to speak as God would have us to speak, and that is to speak as the oracles of God. The oracles of God, the Word of God, tells the alien sinner to believe in Jesus Christ, to repent of their sins, to confess faith in Christ as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and be baptized into water for the forgiveness of sins. The oracles of God tell those who are wayward, those who have once obeyed the gospel and have now turned from it, to repent of their sins and acknowledge that and come back to faithfulness in the house of God. Friends, we exhort you to speak as the oracles of God, to do exactly what the Bible commands.